Sydney is for sport.
This is one of the great victories.
Listen to this.
The Australian Grand Prix.
Yannick Sinner, the Australian Open.
And Australia win the World Cup.
Driving your kids to the Oval, lacing up for the over 35s, or doing the form. However you're spending it, this decades-long institution is back in 2024 to soundtrack it. Racing royalty, Richard Friedman.
Hey, he's a pretty good guy.
Professional dribbler, Brendan Anakin.
Just need a rugby gym.
Makes you wanna scream.
Another screamer.
Listen to this crowd.
And a rotating cast of some of this country's finest athletes. If it's happening in sport, it'll be dissected here. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Whoa, it's all happening. Welcome to the show. Josh Mansell back for another week, and we love to see it.
Just keeping the seat warm for you, Candace.
Yeah, out of the jungle. She's gone. Voted off. Our woman.
I believe it. I thought she was one of the favourites.
Oh, I thought she was too. Did you vote for her? To stay in?
Yes. Why'd you look like that?
Perhaps while she's out. She'll be back in a couple of weeks, Candace. We'll learn all about Frankie Muniz and Malcolm in the Middle. Apparently he's not showering.
Oh, really?
This is stinky Muniz. Disgusting.
That is feral.
You know what's great, though?
Who told you that?
I've been watching. What? You have not been watching.
No, of course
one
I haven't been watching. Well, there's a bloke not shower.
I'll tell you what's wonderful. A bit of live sport at this time on a Saturday morning. The Masters just sort of wrapping up at Augusta, round two. What's the lay of the land over there, Richard Friedman?
Well, we've got three players on top of the table here. Bryson DeChambeau on -6. Scotty Scheffler also on -6. And Max Homa on -6. All Americans there. Nikolai Hogarth next on -4. Now, Cam Davis, Australian, -3 with Colin Morikawa. Ludvig Åberg, watch him. He's a good player. He's not Aussie. He's a Swede, but there you go.
Gathered.
Ryan Fox is there. He's a Kiwi. He's on -1. And Cameron Smith, he's on -1. So he's a chance. Other Aussies in the field. Minwoo Lee shot a 4 over today and is on, what is he on, +2. And Jason Day shot 4 over today and is on +1.
Get him on the coverage. Good stuff. You much of a golfer, Josh?
Do I look like a golfer?
You don't. You look like you've got a poor swing, I'll be quite honest.
Very stiff. Really need to loosen up.
Yeah, but what about your swing? Good stuff.
You're a stiff swinger.
Yeah, pretty bad. I've got good power.
Do you play golf much?
I used to play quite a lot, but no.
Your son's very good, isn't he, Will?
There's a story there. Yes. Yeah. You know what? That swing of his has cost me a fortune.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
You play for...
I paid for the lessons to get him that swing.
Okay, right.
But it is a good swing.
It's a good show on the way as well. Connor Watson joining us from the Roosters after 11. Is it all over for Jason Demetrio at Souths? They said he's got 80 minutes to save his job, but looks like that's been negated during the week.
I think the fat lady's clearing her throat.
Yes.
The writing's on the wall.
It's certainly all over for Josh Schuster. Gone from Manly already. That's in the sports update on the way.
But not over.
But not
you
over.
You should not say he's over for Josh Schuster.
I said over at Manly. Do you know something I don't?
Well, no, he's gone from Manly.
Yeah, okay.
But
you've been on the phone?
I have.
Oh, been doing some work this week.
No, not
it's
really.
It's unbelievable. next, though, we'll look back at Thursday's and Friday night footy. Hold your heads high, Bulldogs fans. We want to give your team a little bit of praise.
With all the ins and outs of sport.
There it is. That's out.
This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Friedman, Anakin.
Let's go back to Thursday night footy. Knights taking on the Roosters. This, for me, Josh, a game that the Knights really should have won, and they were priced as such. Couldn't get the job done. The Roosters squeaking home 22-20 at McDonald Jones Stadium.
I actually tipped the Roosters, believe it or not.
I do believe it, because you're on a tear with your tipping. Like, yeah. I thought it was
pretty disrespectful on the Roosters when I saw the odds come out. You know, Newcastle have been far from convincing this year, in my opinion. You know, they've obviously solved the conundrum with the spine. Jackson Hastings, Jack Cogger now. That has to be the spine going forward.
Yeah.
Callum Ponga's, played an outstanding game, but obviously a hip injury concern as well. Yes. So that kind of limited him towards the back end of that game. But yeah, Roosters, like you look at their lineup, like they're playing outstanding and they had a point to prove. I think they're going to be one of the teams that are going to fight for that premiership this year.
Having said that, let me say this. If Kalen Ponga doesn't go through the 20 minutes at the back of the first half, where he basically had to limp around the field and couldn't get going, couldn't tackle, couldn't get to the marker, right? If he doesn't have that period, he went in at halftime and came out a different player. I've got to get whatever they gave him. I need it for some racehorses. Right? whatever happened in that room in there, a different player came out on the field in the second half.
Mm, mm.
And if he hadn't had that 20 minutes where he was clearly injured, I think they win.
And having said that, let me ask this.
Yes.
Are the Knights too reliant on Kalyn Ponga?
Possibly.
Yeah, I think so. Again, I feel like the middles let the Knights down that night. I thought the Roosters were just rolling up the field way too easy. Joey Manu clocking up 370 metres.
What about NRL record?
That is disgusting. Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah, like that should be stopped. He just get the union onto him.
He just did not run out of juice. And I'm sure he would have got drug tested after that game because that was just unbelievable.
Handy replacement too. Like, not your first string fullback.
Far
and they're pulling that out. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And, yeah, he just showed why he's one of the top players in the game. And, again, as well, Michael Jennings, 300th game. Extraordinary feat. And you could tell as well, he's such a loved character and teammate for the Roosters, and they definitely showed up for him. So congratulations, Michael.
I was more invested than I should have been in Friday night's early game, the Storm taking on the Bulldogs.
What a game.
Glenn from Baulkham Hills calls me every Friday on air when I'm on air, okay?
Right.
And I'm in a last person standing competition at the Hills Bolo, which he's put me in. If I win, the money goes to charity. It's fine.
So you personally know Glenn from Baulkham Hills?
I don't. He just calls me on the show.
Right.
Glenn loves me. And that's fine. And he's put me in the
He's the one.
And I fell down last first round. I said, Knights will beat the Raiders, and they didn't. And this one, I was like, Storm will do it in a canter, Glenn. Don't you worry about that. And with 5 minutes to go, the Bulldogs are up. And I was like, oh, Glenn must think I'm an idiot. But the Storm,
just Glenn.
I know. But they eventually got it done, and it was ugly, wasn't it?
Very ugly. And that's what happens sometimes when you got the top teams versus the lower teams. Like, the lower teams can bring you down to their level, and that's exactly what the Bulldogs did. Cameron Serrata has a lot of success playing in Melbourne. He's won 3 out of 3. So I thought it was going to be a danger game. I knew the Bulldogs were definitely going to be up for it, and they definitely were. So it was just unfortunate, just let it slip in the end. It was a bit of a strange game in patches. Obviously, Ryan Pappenhausen getting sin-binned. That was a bit bizarre, in my opinion. And I think it was Samuel Hughes as well getting sin-binned, which was purely accidental in my eyes. Yes, he did get him in the face on the way down, but I thought it was just accidental. But anyway, Melbourne got the chockies, and
They're coming around, though, the Bulldogs.
They are.
They're not perfect. They're still doing things, making errors and things like that, but it's becoming less and less errors. They're coming around. Yeah. I reckon Serraldo will get them
absolutely
to a good level.
And you can just see it. Like, their actions prove it. Like, they're just playing as a team. They love being around each other. And the stats show it as well. This time last year, the Bulldogs were 16th in conceding tries on their goal line. They're first this year.
Mm.
They've conceded the least amount of tries on their goal line. So Cameron Serraldo, again, I had him as an assistant. He's one of the best, most detailed, meticulous defensive coaches I've had. And it's obviously shown for the Bulldogs.
It's taking its time to get there.
And
Bulldogs fans just got to cop that
Storm,
because it will get there.
One of the competition favourites too, and you're dishing that up, that you've got to hold your head high if you're a fan. You've got to be encouraged by what you're seeing.
100%. And going back to that, defence is all about attitude. And the Bulldogs have been showing very good attitude lately. So, you know what, they're making leaps and bounds. But like you said, it takes time. And you know what? The old saying, trust the process.
That's it. Very quickly, the other game as well last night, the Battle of Brisbane. Not too invested in that. The Dolphins going down 28-14.
Dolphins, man. Anyway.
No, Finns are down. Yeah. When the fins are floppy, Brendan doesn't want a bar of it.
The Finns were floppy last night because, they were missing some key personnel.
Floppy?
But you know what? The game, I don't rate the game. I watched it and I thought...
doesn't rate it.
I thought, this is an error-riddled game. Yep.
Battle of Brisbane.
Yeah,
he didn't like
it was okay in the first half, and it sort of, I don't know, just drifted along that game. Broncos were too strong in the end, and, well done to them. Mm. They were probably, probably a little stronger on personnel at the time.
I agree.
And Reece Walsh coming back does make a difference to them. He's just that X factor. You just can't be sure what's going to happen next.
Exactly.
And he takes out the predictability.
They get all the big names in sport.
Big names.
And Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin too. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
It is D-Day for South's coach Jason Demetriou, despite early reports of his job hinging on the result of tonight's clash against the Sharks. Persistent whispers are that his time is already up at the Bunnies. Did you see that press conference yesterday?
I did.
Would you like to hear the last 10 seconds of that press conference yesterday?
Fire away.
Here we go.
I'm really looking forward to the performance. Can't wait. Your energy through the roof. Looking forward to it.
Do you believe you're coaching for your job?
I believe I'm coaching for a great performance this week, and that's what we'll get. Thank you.
27 seconds it went for.
Well, play the rest of it.
That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, obviously, there's been a lot of noise around him, and it's never easy to front the media with all that noise in the background. So, you know.
What do you mean noise? All the people saying he's going to lose his job and he's gone, correct, his history. Mm. Yeah, look, that's tremendously harsh on him. He's doing his best. I can guarantee that he's doing his best.
Yep.
You know, whether you agree with what he's doing or not, that's another matter.
Correct.
The man is trying his hardest.
That's right.
And what are you going to say when everyone's standing behind you going, oh, dead man walking? You know.
Exactly.
Just get out there and say, I'm going to do my best. The team's going to do their best. We'll see how it goes. Mm. And that's basically, I guess, what he did.
I want to know what's happened because round 11 last year, top of the table, favourites to win the comp. Mm. Since then, they've won 5 of the last 20 games.
Now, why is the coach wearing all of this? You know,
that's the responsibility of a coach, unfortunately.
Mm. Like, again, I said like a player.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? Like, let's just spit facts here, right? So he's put himself in this decision, right? Okay. I know, again, it's not all the responsibility should be on him.
Is there any qualifications you want to make on this before you go forward?
Well, you look outside looking in, right? You look at the Sam Burgess when he just sacked him before the finals. Right? Sam Burgess is one of the most praised and love sons of South Sydney. You can't tell me that wasn't going to have an effect on the playing group and the club. Okay, that's
a while ago there.
John Morris
John Morris, yeah. Right? His decision not to adopt an experienced assistant defensive coach, that's on him as well. Okay. There's a timeline.
So there's no responsibility on the players here, according to you?
Of course there is.
But they're the ones out there with the ball in hand.
Yeah, of course they are. But they have to react for what the coach is doing. So end of the day, everything was like, it sits from the top all the way down. The players aren't reacting to what the coach is directing. So it has to fall on the coach.
Well, hang on. If the players aren't doing what the coach wants them to do, how's that the coach's fault?
Because he's the coach. He's the one that's implementing tactics. He's the one that's implementing culture. Yeah, he's the one that's implementing senior player management. He's the one that's deciding what the team's going to look like that week, the week before.
Ultimately, the people who have to prosecute the plan are the players.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're not prosecuting the plan. Is that what you're saying?
I just think that this has been brewing for a few seasons now. And I've seen it firsthand. I can say from experience. It looks like the writing's on the wall now.
Yeah, someone has to be responsible, Richard. Like if a company collapses, you don't blame the workers. You blame the CEO.
A little different.
No, it's not. It's a business.
Let me ask this question, Richard. If you were going to work and you had a boss there or a manager that you did not like, how would you respond in your work environment?
Well, most of my staff have to say that.
He is that guy.
I'll throw it back at you. You know what I mean?
I hear what you say, but the players can't absolve themselves of any responsibility here. You know, they have to take their share.
Oh, I totally agree. And you can't tell me, you look at the team with that South's possess, Latrell Mitchell, Cody Walker, Damien Cook, Junior Totola, Thomas Burgess, Keon Kolomatangi, Jack Whiten, Alex Johnson. I can keep going if you want.
No,
like that is a state and origin side. Mm. They should be top four. So for players, you just don't lose your talent, right? So what is the issue?
Yeah.
It goes back to the coach the coaching.
During the week, given 80 minutes, if he wins this game against the Sharks, ostensibly he'd be safe. But No, he's done?
No, he's done. In my eyes, I think he's done, unfortunately, for him. And
well, props to him for turning up tonight, too, because there were some calls from some journos, which I thought they were dumb calls, to be honest. Mm. Just walk away 48 hours before a game. What's that say about his integrity? I think it's great that he's fronting up. I think it's great that he's coaching.
His own level of pride, you know. He wants to turn up and do his job.
What does that say to prospective employers as well if he just walks away?
Well,
he's done the right thing by playing this
absolutely
week. 100%. He's done the right thing. And you know what? End of the day, he loves his players. Like, there's no doubt about that. You know, he's believed what he thought was right, but unfortunately hasn't turned out that way. And, you know, end of the day, he's in the position because he put himself in this position.
Very quickly, is Wayne Bennett coming back?
No, definitely not.
No?
I don't think so. No.
Sam Burgess? Eventually?
Well, I think Sam, I think the long
term plan. Hang on, sorry, with Wayne, why don't you think Wayne's coming back?
Well, I don't know. I just don't feel, I feel like if Wayne comes back, he's just going to be, it's going to be a caretaker role. In my eyes, I think the goal is Sam Burgess coming back to the club.
Wayne picks his targets very carefully.
And not only that, I feel like he's standing in James Demetrio's grave, where he was just, Demetrio learned his craft and trade from Wayne Bennett. So Wayne Bennett coming back to the club where his old assistant got sacked. I don't know.
Who is it then? Who's your number one with the bullet?
If Jason was to play his last game today, all the noise is around Mal Meninga. I've played under Mal. Mal's a fantastic coach. He instills great culture, instills great discipline. And that's the type of coach that I love playing for, you know.
But long-term, so 2025 onwards?
Long-term, it's Sam Burgess for me.
Okay.
But you know what? Sam Burgess, if he had the opportunity to come next year, he wouldn't come because that's just, you know, that's going to question his character.
Yeah.
You know, the club let him go. They chose Jason Demetrio. So I feel like a few heads have to roll before Sam has to come.
Okay.
If it happens on the field, in the change rooms, or the car park, hear about it here. Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin. If it happened overnight, you'll hear it in the Triple M Dead Set Legends Sports Update.
Out of favour, Manly forward Josh Schuster has been granted personal leave from the club after being given permission to leave the Seagulls immediately earlier in the week. His time at the club is done, it would seem.
Yes, and that is sad for Josh. And let me say this straight up. He's a friend of my son's.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'll say about Josh is there's a lot to this young man.
Yeah.
There is a lot. And there's a bit going on away from football. And he's a fine, at his core, he's a fine young man. And he's a gifted player. Everybody knows he's gifted.
Without a doubt.
And there will be a club that gets him under the right circumstances, puts him into the right pathway, and they will reap enormous benefit from this.
What club do you think that is, Josh? Because
there's allegedly in the paper, there's 16 of them all said
that don't want him.
Right. Well, at least four of those clubs have since reached out. So there are clubs who see the benefit.
Outrageous. You just said it. He's got all the talent in the world. But the narrative is he working hard enough?
Well, what club will get him to work hard enough? I think of a system like Penrith. I think of a system like the Broncos.
It's not about his attitude to work. It's about a lot of other things.
Okay.
And if they resolve them, you will see all the other things will resolve.
Well, back to your question. The first team that comes to mind is Craig Bellamy. Like he's a
Storm,
guy,
of course.
He's a guy that's turned fringe players into superstars.
He's on the way out, though, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. He is. But that culture will stay in place, hopefully, for a few more seasons. But Penrith will be a great destination for him as well. But obviously,
won't be on 800.
Or it'll be very hard to crack that 17 as well. But yeah, like Richie said, he's got all the talent in the world. And it's just a shame that's got to this position. Like I could smell blood in the water when I saw him playing reserve grade the last few games, particularly on that pay packet. But I feel like with young players these days, they don't understand that when you get a big contract, it comes great responsibility.
Pressure.
And pressure. And expectation. Like, and young players, we've seen it. Like, they don't know how to handle it and they just unravel.
And they're not always ready in their life away from footy to handle all of that. And someone will get him, and fortuitously, it will be the right time in his life. And he'll be the player he can be.
I want to use myself as an example. When I first came and played rugby league, like all I wanted to do was dream and play NRL, right? You see it as a dream job. You see, because you're having fun. But once you start playing, all these expectations come in, it starts becoming a job. You got to talk to sponsors. You got to talk to media. You got to perform week in, week out. That level of expectation is higher. So that's all comes to a shock.
I completely concur with that. You know, my career in horse racing started off, it was all fun and games.
Yeah.
And then very quickly, when it got to the playing at the highest level, it became all pressure and responsibility.
All the best to him. Couple of really quick ones. 21-year-old star swan Errol Goulden. He's extended his deal with the club by 4 years. You'll be happy, Rich, keeping him in Sydney until at least the end of 2028.
Absolute gun.
He really is. They've got the bye this weekend, GWS taking on St Kilda the Savo at the Showgrounds. And Zach Lomax's future has, I'm so sick of talking about this. It's been locked in. The Dragons winger signing a 4-year, $2.6 million deal with the Parramatta Eels from 2025.
Confirmed.
Done.
Is he guaranteed the centre spot?
It will have to be.
Could be fullback. You never know. Guffo makes way.
Oh, surely not.
Come on.
They're looking for an X factor.
He's a king.
Guffo's got to stay a fullback in my eyes. Like you look at their centres at the moment, Will Penasini, he's definitely cemented his spot. And then you've got the other centre, I think it's been Morgan Harper and Bailey Simonson in and out. So you like to think that Zach Lomax gets that jersey.
This was my favourite bit of the week. Did you see a CCTV footage released this week capturing an escaped racehorse running amok at Warwick Farm train station?
I did.
How funny was it?
How?
Look, that horses can let themselves out of their stable. Yeah. The clever one knows how to unlatch the... We've had horses, we've had to padlock the stable to stop them letting themselves out and then letting other horses out.
It was during the big wet, Josh. So when all that rain was coming down, the horse has gone, nah,
I'm out of here.
Don't want it.
He's escaped. Yeah. He or she, I didn't even notice which it was, but the horse has escaped. And then they'll just wander around, you know, and, oh, I'll go in here, and next minute they're on the train station.
Yeah.
But the horse was quite quiet. How it looked like he was waiting for the train.
It really did, and I was thinking, it's so like us, you know, just getting the train to and from work.
It looked like if the train came and the doors opened, he was going to walk straight in.
Got me thinking. One 1-3-3-5-3. Oh, no, come on. What got out? What got out?
What do you mean, what got out?
Was it a pet? Was it your kid? What got out? Something of yours that got out. Could be anything.
Adjudicating another week of sport.
You are the worst umpire that I've ever seen in my life.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Richard Friedman. Brendan Anakin.
What got out? Troy and Greystanes. That's you, Troy.
Troy.
Oh, that's the wrong button. That's me. G'day, Troy. No, it was me. I'm sorry. I had the wrong button. Troy, what got out, bud?
Oh, mate, just want to say g'day to Saucy, firstly. Obviously, big fan. Love Ledge. You, mate.
How are you, brother?
Good, thank you. Our cattle dog that we saved from the pound that we picked up and everything like that, we had some thunderstorms going on, the thunder and whatnot. She actually jumped over the gate, and I went looking for her. I couldn't find her. I threw it up on social media and whatnot, and someone actually found her in a completely different suburb.
Wow.
Wow.
They get superhuman strength, don't they, dogs, God. In storms? You know? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Let's go to... what? They do.
Okay.
Another suburb.
Yep.
Okay. Steve, what got out? 1-3-3-5-3 is the right button.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What got out?
My grandfather.
Your grandfather got out.
Sorry? Elaborate.
During World War II, after the war, he was a prisoner of war guard in Borneo.
Mm.
And 15 years ago, when he got dementia, he sort of went back to being a prisoner of war guard.
Oh, wow.
But he was in a nursing home.
Oh, my God.
And I went to visit him. He goes, you know, I'm going to escape from here. They can't keep me forever.
He thought he was in the camp.
Yep.
I don't know if I should be laughing.
He's using a knife to take the putty out of the window, but that was taken too long. So one day he ripped out, at the age of 90, a flagpole that was in the courtyard and used it as a battering ram to smash down a security door, and he escaped.
That's
Steve.
That is outstanding.
Yeah, right. Absolute curveball here.
Bless him.
I think that's worth $100 worth of chicken.
I think it is.
Just give it.
We've just got to take one more.
One more call. Okay, let's go to Mike in Windsor. Mike, what got out?
How are you guys? Mine isn't nearly as funny as that story, but it was pretty good. I was living with this rough old bird in Bonnie Rig for a while there, and in our lounge room.
Well, okay. Who hasn't done that?
I've still got the rash to prove it.
Okay, that's enough, Mike. Okay, what got out? Because that's staying with you.
We had this massive tank in the lounge room, and it was like it had wire and stuff over the top, and it had a big python in there. And
yes, you do.
It wasn't mine, it was hers. I was terrified of the bloody thing. And it got out, it went over the neighbor's fence and ate the cattle dog cross.
Oh my God,
ate it.
How big a python was this?
It was massive. I never touched it. They stink. I don't know if you've had snakes.
No, we haven't. A massive python in my house.
Yeah, no. Yes. Thank you. That was a very visceral story. Thank you, Mike. Very enjoyable.
Wow.
The chicken does have to go to Steve.
Oh, damn.
$100 there. Are the Roosters calling you to try Red Rooster's new range of Ripper Rolls
today? The nursing home breakout just for the 90-year-old battering war ram. Veteran. That's fantastic.
That's unbelievable.
Game, set, and match. And time permitting, many other sporting cliches. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
Let's do a little bit of sports erotica. What? Sports erotica, man. Let me jog your memory. It's any sort of like suggestive commentary, I find.
Who does the research on this?
Me.
Yeah.
At length.
Yep. Sick.
To jog your memory, I knew that. This was from last year, so this was a bit of car racing commentary I found.
You can see from the moment he's turned in, as we spoke about, just not enough rear tyre temp there. Bit of corrective, like the most important thing with the front wheel drive.
So I think Josh loves it. What?
I think I'm all for it.
What's suggestive about that?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Unfortunately, Kalen Pong has fallen victim to sports erotica.
Did you see his interview? I saw.
Here's Kalen Ponga after their 22-20 loss on Thursday. This is on Channel 9.
Were you thinking that you might have to come off, or were you pretty determined to stay on?
Oh, I'm never going to pull myself off. That sounds a bit weird, but...
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
Certainly not during the game.
Oh, God. Were you wearing short pants at the time? You know, were you?
There's a good part.
It's just... good that he identified in the moment.
Were you sitting there with your other year six friends?
Yeah. I know, yeah. Josh loves it.
I love it.
He's not laughing.
Got to keep this going, please.
Oh, Thank you. It's nice to get some support here. And good on you, Kalen, for knowing when to say no.
Ladies and gentlemen,
if it's happening in sport, you'll hear about it here.
The greatest happening in sport.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
Reviewing this game, the Roosters managed to squeak past the Knights on Thursday, 22-20, up in Newcastle.
What a game.
Was this man an integral part in that win for the Chooks? I love him. Connor Watson, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you, Brendan?
Wonderful, brother. Wonderful.
Connor, Josh Mansell here. How are you, brother?
Hey, Sauce. How you doing, mate?
Good, good. Congrats on the win on Thursday night. And, mate, it's good to see you back playing and back with the Sydney Roosters. Mate, I want to ask you, what do you enjoy playing? In the middle or on the edge?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I probably, you know, spent most of my time the last couple of years at hooker and lock.
Yeah.
I reckon the freedom of lock is probably the most enjoyable, but like I'm happy to play anywhere. And then, you know, playing 5-8 the other night, I forgot how fun that was.
Having to make less tackles is always funner.
Yeah, exactly. But I still ended up making nearly 30 or so. They must have been going about
pat himself on the back.
Took it back in the middle, that's why.
yeah, exactly. But I actually, I enjoyed it the other night, you know, playing 6. It was really good to sort of like a completely different edge for us as well. So, you know, to play alongside Rads is, he does such a good job there defending, you know, in the back row. And then have an old calm head like Michael Jennings outside always helps. And then Big Sue on the wing to do his thing. So it was good. Good fun.
It was a funny match, wasn't it, Connor? They jumped away and looked the dominant side early, the Knights. But I think Kalen Ponga, you know, sort of becoming a little bit incapacitated, sort of changed the tone and the tempo of the game, and you guys came roaring back in.
Yeah, they got off to a good start, but we, you know, the week before against the Bulldogs, we all sort of saw what happened there, where they jumped off to a good start, and then, you know, we sort of let our heads get down a bit, and it was a big focus this week on, you know, just playing footy no matter what happens, and just having the right attitude. So even when they sort of scored that try early, then they got that penalty goal. We just knew if we hung tough, that momentum would turn as it always does. And even more so in, you know, the game in 2024, like the momentum shifts are crazy. So we just knew if we could get through that period and just continue to hold the ball. And that's one of the big things, you know, is just discipline to hold the ball and then to also not give away penalties in 6 again. So there was a big focus on that for us this week. And then eventually it turned and we got back to playing sort of our style of footy and, you know, trying to roll through the middle of teams with high supports and have that power passing. And then it allowed guys like, you know, Joey Manu to sort of, you know, make half breaks. And then Brendan goes and scores that try for us. So we just sort of probably ended that first half a bit disappointing with that try. Like that was against the run of play. We sort of had all the momentum there. And then we knew going into the second half that it was going to be a tough one and it was going to be close. And they move the ball so well, Newcastle, and they do such a good job of sort of getting Kalen in space. And, you know, I think it was a completely different player in the second half. I went to one of the scrums, and I was like, what did you do in there?
Because he looked gone, didn't he, Connor? When they went in for halftime, you thought, well, he won't be back. And it's a different player came out.
Yeah, exactly. We sort of went in and we were talking about, you know, how he's, his hip was no good, or we didn't really know what it was at the time, but we knew he was carrying something. And then just seeing him run out of the tunnel at half time, he thought, geez, they must have suck some needle juice into that thing.
Connor, what about you personally, mate? I know it was a tough year for you last year. You're out of the game 558 days. You are back. You are thriving. Mm-hmm. How grateful are you to be back? And has it given you a new lease on life?
Yeah, it has. It's been huge, you know, just to be back out there playing again. Like, I sort of forgot what it was like. And, you know, even when I started the year and played a couple of games in the New South Wales Cup, I was sort of disappointed to not be playing first grade, but I was just so stoked to be playing footy again. So even when I was playing, you know, that level, I was just frothing to be back out there. So to be back playing NRL and to sort of, you know, be a part of a winning side. You know, we've been a little bit inconsistent, but we're sort of still finding our feet again. But it's just been so good to get back out there and just compete again.
Next week, you're kicking off round 7 against the Melbourne Storm. Oof. What's the mindset going into that one? Obviously, Melbourne top of the ladder at the moment, but big test for you boys.
Yeah, massive test for us. You know, you want to sort of play in these games. And like I said, we've been a little bit inconsistent to start our season. And, you know, we were disappointing against the Panthers and disappointing against Manly. So they're sort of two of the form sides as well as the Storm. So this is a big opportunity for us to, you know, really get our season started against some of these big sides. So they got a good win yesterday against the Dogs, like a close one. You know, the Dogs, I thought, were pretty good. But, yeah, it's a big opportunity for us. And, yeah, I know the boys will be looking forward to it. And hopefully we get Teddy and Sammy back as well.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, the inconsistency, does that come back to the injuries you guys been having?
Well, we've had a lot of sort of, you know, whether it's been HIAs, like we missed Kiri for a bit there. You know, Sammy's had that one. Teddy, it's just sort of been like a different look spine for us every week. But you can't really use that as an excuse. And, yeah, you know, it's so cliche to talk about the depth and next man up. But yeah, it's never been more relevant, I reckon, than probably for this year. Because I'm not sure if the rates of, you know, injuries and that have been higher. But it's definitely, like, I've noticed it just watching as a fan. Like, I feel like every week there's, yeah, different guys missing. And, you know, whether it's just one or two-week injuries with head knocks, or there's been, you know, lots of other things. So it's definitely, yeah, that old cliche is so relevant, I reckon. So for us, we've just got to make sure that whoever's playing does the job.
Well, it's great to see you back out there, Connor Watson. Always a pleasure. Best of luck against the Storm too, because I reckon Bellamy will rip into him this week after that performance last night. So be ready, Connor.
Yeah.
Right. Keep killing it, brother.
Good on you, mate. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, bud.
With all the ins and outs of sport.
There it is. That's out.
This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Friedman Anakin.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
Richard's List of Grievances.
I've had my problems with taxis.
What do you mean?
Over the years. Well,
over the years? This wasn't just over a weekend.
No.
Over the years.
No. I do respect taxi drivers who, A, speak the language, know where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
That's important to me.
Helpful.
I will not get into the van.
The maxi taxi?
I will not get in
the van. That's the best taxi.
Oh, I agree.
Thank you.
I agree with you.
It's spacious.
No, it's not for me.
Why?
No, I'm not going into it.
Okay.
But I'm not getting in it. And there was an incident. Not too long ago.
Doesn't surprise me.
I was in Melbourne. It's a Friday night. Long taxi line, as you can imagine. And I'm in bay number 3 of 11 or 12.
Early bay, nice.
Yeah. And here it comes. And I'm counting off the taxis. 1, 2.
No, there it is.
Van.
Her maxi.
Right? So the van pulls up and I just pretend I don't see.
Is it just you?
Just me.
It is funny when there's a singular person in a maxi taxi.
I just pretend I don't see it.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm standing there. This bloke goes, "You going to get in?" I said, "No." He said, "What?" I said, "No. Drive on."
Drive on?
Drive on. He said, "I'm not driving on, mate. I've been out here for an hour and a half waiting with the taxis. Get in."
As is his right. You're in the wrongy. Go on.
So I said, "Not getting in." Anyway, it's starting to hold up everybody, and there's an altercation going on. So here comes the bloke who directs the taxis. You know, you go, you stand in bay 3, and can move on you. Yeah. And that guy, he comes along and goes, "What's going on here?" I said, "I'm not getting in that." He said, "What do you mean you're not getting in it?" I said, "I'm not getting in it." He said, "You're getting in it or you're going to the back of the line, pal.
Which is fair, absolutely. Right? That's what I do.
Nah, I'm not moving. So now what? And the bloke in the taxi's going, mate, it's getting a bit aggravated.
Yeah.
He's going, get in a taxi, right? I said, it's not a taxi. I said, it's a converted bread van and I'm not getting in it, right? So this went on for, and then other people got involved.
This is a truncated version of this as well, mate, which is incredible.
Get in the taxi. They're all saying, get in the taxi. I'm saying, shut up. It's none of your business.
Yeah.
Anyway. Eventually I had to get in the taxi.
Of course you did.
Under threat of death.
Of course you did. I feel sorry for every soul that came into contact with you that night.
Can you imagine the ride in that taxi after that?
It would be
very rough. Yeah, I reckon he was trying to throw me around.
I think he went the long way. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know.
All fair, by the way.
But you know what? Let that be a lesson to anyone else who thinks they're going to pick me up in one of those vans.
It's never going to happen.
Oh, you are the worst. Dead Set Legends on Sydney's Triple M. We'll catch you next week.